Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So what did Trump learn from impeachment? A reporter wanted to know.
What lesson did you learn from impeachment?
That the Democrats are crooked. They've got a lot of crooked things going. That they're vicious, that they shouldn't have brought impeachment, and that my poll numbers are 10 points higher because of fake news like NBC, which reports the news very inaccurately, probably more inaccurately than CNN, if that's possible.
Yes, so that's what he learned. Maybe they should do it again.
I wonder what the media learned.
Oh, absolutely nothing.
Nothing, though.
Nothing whatsoever. The media is like that kid that, you know, puts their hand on the oven. The first time after you told him 50 times not to do it, gets burned.
Yeah.
And is like, I think I'll try it again and see if I get different results.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So meanwhile, I am loving the drama in the Democrat Party right now.
Yeah.
It is hysterical. Did you see Bernie on MSNBC with that shot over the bow? and this is hysterical, right? From the party that champions democracy, right?
Yeah.
Does not use the word republic, okay? Even though we are a republic, the word democracy does not appear in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights anywhere.
Yeah.
The word republic
does.
Yeah. But they pretend that's not the case, is, you know, just the same way they pretend laws aren't laws and don't say what they do and, you know, don't apply to them, stuff like
that.
So Bernie's saying, actually trying to explain to Mr. Hayes, the show host there, see, if a person gets the most votes in the Democrat Party and they get the most delegates, they should be the nominee, right?
Okay.
And Hayes is looking at him like he's lost his mind, right? The same person who I guarantee you in the next breath will turn around and advocate for so-called democracy, right?
Yeah.
Here's Bernie. And this is a warning coming from Bernie.
It would be very divisive. I mean, you'd have to, the convention would have to explain to the American people, hey, candidate X, you know, kind of got the most votes and won the most delegates in the primary process, but we're not going to give him or her the nomination. I think that would be a very divisive moment for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's wait here. Let me translate that. Well, I have a plurality of the vote and y'all want to steal the nomination from me. That might make that plurality of the vote pretty angry. Yep. Wouldn't want that, would you? That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
It'd be fascinating to see how they steal it from him. They're gonna. I just haven't figured out how.
Yeah, because the Biden boat has sunk.
But boy, I got to tell you what. I said that. I didn't dwell on that enough yesterday. I mean, that rejection of Biden. I mean, he was pumped up and plumped up for like a year by the establishment.
Yeah.
Very clearly their candidate. And dude can't dig his way out of fourth or fifth place. He just can't. I mean, just a total resounding defeat and rejection of the establishment of the Democrat Party is dead, done, stick a fork in it.
I got to make a little criticism here about Senator Amy Klobuchar and her comment the other day.
Which one?
The one where she says that she is no longer bolted to her Senate seat.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about complaining, basically. I will use the whine word. She was whining about having to stick around for the impeachment trial. Now, I'm sorry, Ms. Klobuchar, but that's what you ran for, was a Senate seat. So you are complaining about having to do your duty to represent your state, your constituents, as a United States senator during basically a political witch hunt, which your party conducted against President Trump. So I don't want to hear any complaints from you about being bolted to your Senate seat. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you ran for. That's what you got elected for. So, you know, so are we saying that if she has other duties that call her away, if she is president, that she's going to be, you know, she's not going to be able to handle it? I just thought that was a ridiculous comment, saying that she was bolted to her Senate chair. Number one, your party decided to do this. So don't complain about it.
If she doesn't want that Senate seat, I mean, I'm sure.
There you go.
Someone else will take it.
Exactly.
If it's become too much of a burden
almost,
for her.
I'm not at that point yet, but I'm almost at a point where I think that anyone who runs for president should not be holding office. Because for something this important, for something that takes this much energy, this much effort, this much money, and as important as the chief executive of this country is, it should be somebody who is not shirking their duties from any other elected office. You know, that's one advantage I think Mayor Pete's got. He's a former mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah.
You know, but you have Senator Elizabeth Warren, you have Senator Bernie Sanders, you and then you had some previous senators and House of Representatives who are basically shirking their responsibilities to their constituents to go run for president.
Texter writes, I'm sort of amazed that the left has gone all in on socialism. Biden was probably the only one that could pull in some middle of the road voters away from Trump.
No, Klobuchar's trying.
She's trying, but let's not forget who Amy Klobuchar
is. I know. No. You're okay. Right.
Amy Klobuchar is a lunatic.
Yes.
No, I mean, truly, and I can back that up. She did the obligatory, when you get a bump in your campaign and you need the campaign cash to come in, you have to make an open borders declaration. Rand Paul did this. Several of the candidates did this. Ted Cruz went down to the border and handed out soccer balls to illegal immigrants. You got to do something that shows the donors that you're serious about flooding the country and depressing the wages. And boy, did she do that the other day. Listen to what this woman supports, okay? This is a supposedly moderate, the backup moderate for Joe, okay? Ready for this. She's vowing to tear down all of Trump's border reforms. She says you will decriminalize border crossings, so we're going to have open borders. But that's not good enough, Lee, because we need a magnet. Because we've got millions, we need to get them here, right? So do you know what she's going to offer? You can apply for refugee status if you are a victim of domestic abuse, like your husband slaps you around or your wife does. You can apply for refugee status. Used to be your government had to be trying to kill you for your religious beliefs. Very few people got it, right? If you all you have to claim now is domestic violence. And remember, refugee status is not immigration status.
No.
It's gold plated. You qualify for an unlimited basket of welfare benefits that American citizens can't even get. There's a cap, a dollar cap on welfare programs for Americans. There's no cap for refugees. The thought being your country tried to kill you. You must be really downtrodden. We're going to help you for a while when you get here. And that was only ever supposed to be given to a couple dozen people a year. I mean, it's a big deal to get refugee status. And so she's now saying, look, if you're a victim of domestic violence in your country, you just come on here and you just come and you can be a refugee. She's promising to rip down all of Trump's border fixes. She will allow migrants who bring children. You show up at the border with kids, automatic release into the U.S. She promises to force the end of catch and release, or to force more catch and release by shrinking detention spaces. She says she's going to ban private prisons, shrink detention space, and take deportation funds currently used by ICE and funnel them into welfare programs for migrants instead. Because, merely ending border enforcement isn't enough. You need a magnet. You gotta, just take some taxpayer money and dangle it out there to get them to come here.
Well, that and bankrupt the country.
Yeah, that's what this will do. I mean, we're damn near bankrupt anyway. So, I mean, this is a moderate in the Democrat Party now. I mean, we're talking about Bernie, all these radical. I can't believe it, that they're going. It's trust me, as people say, Lee, oh, they're being, these Democrats are going for the radical. They're going for Bernie. Well, I mean, radical compared to what?
Yeah.
I mean, honest to God, I keep saying this, Bernie is not a radical.
He's just the only one that admits what he wants to do.
There is no daylight between him and everybody else. Yeah. They might want to implement the programs in a slightly different way than him. Honestly, the big difference between Bernie and others is that he's actually honest about his Medicare for All program and says the middle class are going to have to raise taxes to pay for it. But I mean, I'm starting to get these texts of, well, Klobuchar, the moderate. Moderate? Only if you want open borders with, ICE officers fired and the money used for welfare magnet programs for illegals. By the way, there would be no cap on the number of people who could claim they are domestic violence victims and come to the U.S. No cap whatsoever. No border enforcement. Get yourself a kid. Any kid, buy one. Don't care. Recycle one at the border. You show up with the kid. They don't even stop you. Can you imagine? They don't even stop you. just, you know, wave from the detention center through the window. Welcome to America. And this woman's a moderate.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line we go. Texter writes, I wonder, Tara, if all those young socialists are ready to kiss their daddy's trust fund and 401k goodbye. I'm glad you brought that up, by the way, about kissing the trust fund, the 401k goodbye. I don't know. Most people don't have a trust fund, but they probably want at some point to have something like a 401k. And that's just not going to happen if we go the Bernie Sanders route. Bernard Marcus, one of the co-founders of Home Depot, lost his mind on this the other day. He is, of course, rich. And he was talking about this idea of taxing the rich. Listen to what he said. He said, listen, you can tax. Well, I'll let him explain it. Here you go.
But a lot of people are okay with taxing guys like you to pay for them, as long as it's not them.
There aren't enough people like me to pay for it. I mean, let's face it. If they took away all the money I have, if they took away all the money of all the billionaires in America and all the wealthy people, they still wouldn't have enough money to pay for all the things that they want to do. It's insanity. This is called not being able to add one and one. They come up with seven. Everybody else comes up with two. I don't know how they justify what they talk about. It just doesn't make any sense. Medicare for all, we know that the cost will be prohibitive. Bernie Sanders at least is honest about it and said, oh, we're going to have to tax everybody. Well, that means middle class America, you're going to pay for it. You think you're going to get it for nothing, you're going to pay for it. And if he thinks he's going to tax every rich person in America, yeah, go ahead and do it. And then who's going to invest money in jobs? Who's going to invest money in creating new things and new treatments for everybody else? It's the philanthropists that do it, the wealthy people that do it.
Yep. Death of investment. Why are our wages going up? Because Trump changed the tax laws to allow money that had been offshored, was trillions of dollars, hidden from the IRS to come back in to the country. Lessen the penalties, lessen the tax rate. Made it attractive. That money flowed in, looking at, you know, $300-something billion per quarter. When you invest, jobs are automatically created. So if you take the money away from investment, guess what? Jobs not created, wages go down. So, I mean, there's no free lunch. You're gonna pay one way or the other. And probably for crappy health care. 800-347-1063. Did you see this? This is going to shock some of you. Men and women are different. No, I know. It's hard to believe. New study. Men really are born ready. Male body evolved as a specialized fighting weapon. Purpose built by evolution to throw punches and beat up sexual rivals. This is one of the most fascinating studies, and I've talked about it often on the show. They went back and they looked at male bodies 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. I mean, skeleton stuff we have a ton of that in the lockers, museums and places like that. 5,000, 10,000, 12,000, 15,000. Men's bodies were beat all to hell. I mean, just beat and broken. Women's were more so than today, but not nearly as much as the men. And they had just been brawling. They were trying to figure out, wow, this has been consistent over human history. Men were built to fight, and they did. What they didn't know is, what do men fight over specifically? I mean, was it territory, women, that kind of thing? And you know where a lot of the damage was? It was to the back, like they'd been attacked from behind. So men were built to brawl, built to scrap, built to fight. Life was tough for men, physically. And now we got more confirmation to that. Human men evolved to be good at, guess what? Punching. They think in order to win fistfights with sexual competitors so they could breed with women. Y'all, you know, my text line is full of guys complaining about having to buy women flowers for tomorrow. You got it easy. You don't even have to hit anybody. You should go pick up some flowers. Make her happy. No, but it's interesting. Study found that men throughout all of time have been forced to scrap in order to win the affections of women and have children. Now, here's the interesting part. Okay, this is going to shock some of you. The end result is male bodies became specifically tailored by evolution to be good at punching. Anybody watch the MMA? Researchers found, this is U.S. researchers found, the weakest man punches harder than the strongest woman in tests. Men's average power during punching motion test was 162% greater than females. Dude, we're different. Who knew? But listen to this. When it came to spear throwing, the difference was not as great, implying evolution belt men to fight better than women, but not necessarily to hunt better than women. So you know what it is? Since the man had to hunt, and they had to knock the other guys out for the honeys, right? And the women had to just hunt. Fascinating, huh? Oh, by the way, the study also found that on average, males' upper bodies have 75% more muscle and 90% more strength than females. But it is not known why. Why do you think? Because they were brawling. Good morning. Gonna jump on the line with veteran newsman Don Mazzella. Good morning, Don. How you doing?
Great. And yourself?
Good. You got some good news for us. We talked a little bit about this on the show out of New Hampshire. Republican turnout surging. Tell us about it.
Well, absolutely. If nothing else out of New Hampshire primary, President Trump demonstrated his power to get voters out to the polls. He had to almost double what President Obama have in his re-election year, what President Bush has. It's important. And also, on Monday night, he had 11,000 people at a sold-out auditorium, more than any of the Democratic candidates. So all in all, it was a good turnout. Also happened in Iowa the same way. It's clearly evident there's a lot of people that like President Trump and like the job he's doing. In fact, there's a study out from Gallup poll this morning that says that 61% of the Americans polled said that they were better off today than they were 3 years ago. Again, the highest that they've ever recorded. So you're looking at a very good week for President Trump. Last week was even better. What his White House a staff is worrying about is complacency. It's still a long ways to go to the November election, and they're worried that people will think that the election is already won. But as the surrogates are saying all over the media today, it's time to redouble our efforts to get the people out to the polls, because the Democrats will put on an unprecedented thrust to get as many people as they can to the polls this November, and President Trump has to as well. But if
are you, sir? Can I stop you for a second? Are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm not. Using my phone.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, because I'm just having trouble understanding you. Here's the thing. You're talking about, you know,
can you hear me better now?
A little bit. You're talking about Obama got, you know, just 49,000 votes in New Hampshire, you know, in his second run there when he was the incumbent. Trump did 120,000. Those are great numbers, right? And they should be trumpeted all over the place. Trump shattered that record. No other president running as an incumbent has done that. However, here's what scares me. This is the flip side of that, because there was bad news out of New Hampshire, too. The Democrats absolutely shattered their 2016 vote totals. And, you know, with approximately 300,000 coming out to, you know, Democrat turnout coming out in New Hampshire. And that's significantly higher than the Democrat turnout of 2016. It's about 40,000 more votes cast in 2020 than 2016. So that says Democrats are super fired up, too. And You know, when you look at that, if Democrats are super fired up, if they're as fired up as they were in 2008 and they come out in that sort of wave number, I mean, Obama got almost 70 million votes that year. The highest number of votes ever recorded by a Republican is just 62.9 million. That's our ceiling. Their ceiling is 70. And we were fortunate that they only turned out 65 million for Hillary. They can turn out five more easily. They did it back in 2008 for Obama. So when I see those turnout numbers for 2020, for Democrats, you know, dwarfing even 2016, I start to get a little scared. They are surging too.
Absolutely. That's great homework on your part. And what President Trump has hopes happens is two things. The number of black and Hispanic voters turns in. Don't forget, if he just changes 5% of those numbers reverse, 5% more blacks and 5% more Latinos vote for him. And right now, if you look at the economic situation, they're doing better than they've ever done. So his hope is, one, that his base turns out record numbers. Two, that he manages to win over some independents and manages to win over some of the black and Latino vote that traditionally goes to the Democrats. If you look at the Obama total, that was swelled by black, primarily black vote. You pull that out of there, you just didn't take 5% away,
mm-hmm.
and you have a pretty good chance for a Trump triumph.
I hope you're right.
Will be tougher than it appears right now. You're absolutely right. But can he do it? There are many people in both parties that bet he can. What the Democrats have to settle on is a candidate, and President Trump right now is laying the groundwork.
Yep.
If you see what he's doing in terms of voter turnout, voter registration, the things that are important. And there's another key element to keep in mind. The bottom of the ticket, the rest of the ticket. There are people out there that want to keep their jobs on the Republican side, and there's going to be massive voter turnout efforts over the next 4 or 5 months in order to get all of this up.
Well, and I'm going to probably cut the interview a little short right there, Don, and I thank you for joining us. I'm having a very hard time understanding you. We don't have a good connection. But definitely appreciate you joining us. Yeah, this is a really weird election. Because Donald Trump shattered, you know, every previous Republican vote total, right? And the Democrats just had a mediocre year in 2016. So can he do it? Yeah, he's done it before. But he's going to, if they come out in a wave like 2018, Trump will need 5 to 7 million more votes than he got last time. And that is a tough hill to climb. So let's hope they're not as excited as these New Hampshire numbers make it look like they are. Want to jump on this quickly and get it in the 8 o'clock hour. I want you to hear this. Played it earlier, but we've got a new audience now. I want you to hear what is going on here. This is just bits and pieces, normalizing political violence in this country. It's day in and day out and day in and day out. Here's the latest from Hank Newsom. He is the president of Black Lives Matter. And he says violence is okay to get your way. He wasn't caught saying this, you know, on hidden camera at some event. He went on Fox News to let everybody know. Take a listen.
The riot is the language of the unheard, right? And for a country that drops bombs on people, for a country that incarcerates people, for a country that enslaves people, to criticize us, right? For vandalism, it's preposterous.
Wow. Tommy Lauren, who was interviewing him at the time, was shocked too.
I want to make sure I'm getting you clearly. It is okay to vandalize, to light things on fire, and to loot businesses because
the United States of America drops bombs on other countries, and because we have problems here and we have grievances, people have grievances, it is okay to act in that manner. And you co-sign onto that as the chairman of Black Lives Matter. You were saying that that is okay.
Let me explain something to you. I think that it is a tool of white supremacy to say, if you want what you get, if you want freedom, then you get it by protesting peacefully. Why is it a tool of white supremacy? Because the white supremacists who built this country never earned anything peacefully. They did it through bullets and blood, and that's the American way.
Well, there'll be no condemnation from the left for this. They won't stop appearing in public, the leadership of the Democrat Party, with Black Lives Matter. They'll just go on. And when violent incidents happen again and again and again and again, they'll just ignore them. They won't condemn them. They'll just ignore them. I mean, how many days a week now are we going to play audio? Seriously, we're up to one a week now. That's about what we're averaging from somebody on the Democrat side of the aisle advocating for violence. Whether it's Bernie's field managers, they want to go out and kill people who disagree with them. They think that's going to be part of the revolution, to this guy. Have you noticed, by the way, he says, people are enslaved in America. Well, that's unfair. Who? Who are the slaves? So I want to go free them. Could you give me an address? I want to know who's responsible. Give me their name. Explain it. Have you noticed he doesn't, because he can? Who's not free in America? Who's that? Give me the address. We'll go set them free. Who is keeping them from being free? What is the repression? Have you noticed they never say? It's just, I want to be a big baby. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum. I'm going to hurt somebody, and I have a right to do it. I have a right to do it. By the way, for the record, our founding fathers overthrew the British colonial power. And they did it for very specific reasons, because we had no right to privacy, no right to free speech, no right to assemble, and no right to freedom of religion in this country. They demanded those things, the British refused, and we overthrew them. And what came from that was the richest basket of rights anybody in the world enjoys anywhere, and they apply to every single last one of us, and that guy cannot name a certain person they don't apply to. The only person I can name is Donald J. Trump. He's been stripped completely of his Fourth Amendment rights. Gone. But this is where they're going. They're normalizing this again and again and again. Texter writes, I wonder how much of a brain freeze he got using the big word preposterous. So says Veronica. Holy cow. Holy cow. All right, let's try to get a call in real quick from Dustin in Welford. Hey, Dustin. Got about a minute
here. Hey, Tara.
Hey.
I was wondering, do you think that the polls saying that Hillary was so far ahead in the last election caused a lot of the Democrats to stay home, thus
yes,
handing it to Trump? So you think the same thing is happening to the Republicans this time?
I'm terrified of that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we go out of our way to vote for people like Bernie Sanders to get them a nomination. And there's a lot of people that love Bernie Sanders, possibly causing us to have the guy who we think is the weakest, worst, actually being our president.
Yeah, I don't know about that last part, but I'll tell you what, when I'm afraid, people did not like Hillary and they were told she was going to win anyway. So like, oh, cool. I don't have to go vote for her. I didn't like her anyhow. And I mean, she did 65 million. Again, the top bar for Democrat performance was set by Obama in 2008. And he did just shy of 70 million. The top performance ever by, you know, Republicans, 62 million. So, I mean, they come out in a wave. Literally, we can't stop them. I mean, we could come out and set a new record because Trump shattered the old record. We could come out and set a new record. We could come out with 2 more million than we ever have before and we'll lose.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
This is, you got that exactly right, Dustin. They were caught totally off guard last time. They're not going to get caught off guard this time. So, you know what? This is going to be a crazy election. It really is.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.